Welcome to the Power Play Podcast, where international cricketer Kyron Powell and marketing genius Jordan Shannon join forces, bringing you captivating conversations with the biggest players in cricket and business. Join us as we dive into the lives of current stars in the cricketing world, the legends before them, and those extraordinary icons whose performances changed the game in both cricket and business. Exploring journeys both on and off the pitch, the boardroom, and everything in between. Get ready for an exhilarating blend of cricket, life, and business insights with two insatiably passionate, infuriatingly no-holds-barred hosts, who, unfortunately for the rest of us, live and breathe this stuff for a living.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of the Power Play Podcast. I'm Jordan Shannon, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyron Powell. How are you, Kai?
I'm not too bad, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. It feels like our first day of spring today. It's 18 degrees. It's glorious outside. So, you know, I think finally the grimness is behind us. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood.
That's lovely to hear. Unfortunately, I think the weather's cost me and Emma some money because we've nipped off to Greece. lovely 24-degree day here in Athens. But
nice. Lovely. I like how the way you described it is nipping off to Greece.
Short haul flight, considered a domestic flight, isn't it? So.
I could say for you, yeah, it's nothing, that's fine. It's like a short bus ride that for the way the amount of travel you've been doing and things. Sorry, go on, what you say?
No, I was about to say it's longer to get to Manchester than to get to Greece, isn't it?
Probably, give or take, yeah. The way it's going at the minute. So I think today we'll also have a bit of a go over, you know, the selections, or some of the nations for the World Cup have obviously entered their provisional squads. So that was England, India, New Zealand and South Africa. So we'll have a brief, you know, go over in terms of who they picked and how they stand. And then we'll obviously then both of us, as mentioned last week, we'll go over our West Indies selection, which has given me a headache. So, you know, it might be something that you lead on and I just try and fill in the gaps, but I've got my notes on my phone currently have very like slashes after each position. So I've got like my openers and I've got like three or four people in each position. So yeah, if it was up to me, I'd be pushing the deadline back 24 hours to see if I can get my squad named.
I think you've given it more thought than Desmond Haynes. He seems to be playing a raffle.
what did you make of the India squad then, if we start with them?
Actually a bit surprised that they didn't go for sort of a Shubman Gill or KL Rahul.
Yeah, they both featured.
But I guess, yeah, I guess it makes sense that, you know, obviously Shubman Gill isn't their strongest T20 sort of player. Obviously has had wonderful IPL seasons and stuff, and KL Rahul being an experienced player. But I guess coming back from injury and sort of, finding his way back, they've sort of gone with guys that are performing. And I mean, Rishabh Pant has had an amazing start coming back from such a horrific injury. And Samju Samson, I think lots of people will be happy for him, you know, because he's always done well for a number of years, but not really gotten the opportunity to showcase his skills on the international stage, you know. So for him to get an international tour of this caliber, you know, T20 World Cup, I think it's something that bodes well for him. I think the rest of the team pretty much stacks up as sort of we expected. Fast bowling options. I mean, Shubham Dubey as a seam bowling option, which is interesting because you've seen lots of people complaining about the impact sub in the IPL, it renders the use of an all-rounder basically to nil. And someone like Shivam Dubey has not really bowled this IPL. So, you know, I think, I don't know whether the Indian board will be able to have that sort of say and try and get Chennai to get like an over or two into Shivam Dubey in games going forward, as opposed to right now, you just have an impact sub and basically you're playing, let's say, eight batters and six, seven bowlers, because you can just change depending on whether you're batting or bowling first.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. He's probably going to have to get some overs in, definitely. Unless they don't see him featuring in the strongest 11, maybe. Well, I suppose you wouldn't take him either way, he's gonna have to get some overs under his belt anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're gonna play three of the four spinners that they selected. And Axel Patel will probably be the one most likely to miss out. With that being said, Hardik Pandya has not been bowling well of late. He's been very expensive. And so they're going to need their spinners to have a good day pretty much every time with the ball, and banking on, obviously, Jasprit Bumrah being the banker that he is, to come good pretty much most times. And then you sort of just wrangle four overs out of, I guess, split between Hardik and the other seam bowler, whoever they select.
Well, and that's going to be the big benefit that they have is the Jadeja ace card, which is, you know, him being arguably the best all-rounder, you know, in the tournament sort of thing, and that'll give him a, you know, big boost, and it also gives him that balance side as well. What did you make of the New Zealand picks?
Standard, pretty much. You know what a New Zealand team is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's, New Zealand is like, it's sort of like the S&P 500. You know, you don't take too much risk. You know, you get your 5 to 10% returns every year.
Yeah.
Pretty much safe investment. You know, they're going to get pretty deep into a tournament. They don't have the widest pool of players, but they're extremely consistent.
Yeah.
Extremely competitive. And you just expect them to go really far in this tournament.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that they'll have the way that they've got that balance in with, obviously, with Rachin Ravindra gives them that balance again from both sides of it and that side of things. And then the experience that they have throughout that, well, their strongest 11, you know, is going to be vitally important. And from a tournament experience side of things that we've discussed before, they've got it in abundance. So they look strong. And like you said, I think they'll just, because of the way that they operate and the way that teams, you know, like the press and from a PR perspective, they'll go and look at England as they always do in India, and they'll do Australia. They always just quietly sneak under the radar and they just go about the business. They do what they do, and they've got the firepower with the ball, and that experience is massive.
Yeah. I think obviously Trent Bolt being in these teams as well, it plays a massive part for New Zealand, because his skill set and what he brings to them in terms of obviously variety, being a left arm seamer, but being able to bowl at any stage of the game, and obviously dedicating himself now to franchise cricket. So he's going to be fully prepared and ready for this type of cricket. I think it's going to bode well for New Zealand's chances in this tournament.
Yeah, definitely. England one, what did you think of that?
I think you definitely got it right, where you sort of said you see Chris Jordan getting in with Ben Stokes not going, and it's surprising because he wasn't necessarily their first choice option, but obviously Jamie Overton got injured, and so they went for, I guess, what they would probably think is a more experienced, safer option, as opposed for gambling with another inexperienced option. Obviously, it would have been a tight call sort of between him and, I guess, Chris Wilkes.
Chris Wilkes.
Okay, all right.
I think so. Reading one of the articles I was reading, I don't think he's fully fit. So I think that's played a bit of a part in Chris Jordan making the cut, to be honest with you.
All right. So, okay, there he goes. And I think pretty much the rest of the team is what you sort of expected. And it's been good for England, the IPL, because you see lots of players that were out of form are starting to get back into form.
Yeah,
Phil Sard is having an amazing run over there at KKR. So is Will Jacks, who made a century. He made 50 runs off 10 balls. His second 50 to bring him in century. So it was just absolutely amazing ball striking, and obviously getting a Johnny Bairstow and a Joss Butler back in form is absolutely imperative for England to go the distance in this tournament. And I've seen Rob Keys put out a statement saying that they're going to pull all the England players from the IPL pretty soon to bring them back to focus on the T20 World Cup preparations as well, which is something I think that England should do, because having looked at their preparation for the 2019 World Cup and then their preparation for World Cups from since, they haven't sort of given it as much attention as they did then.
No.
So I think they're going back in that direction and trying to make sure that their team go into the tournament having played, sufficient enough games together. I mean, everyone's currently playing cricket wherever they are in the respective parts of the world, but coming together as a team, going in with, like a nice camaraderie, nice build up as a team, and everyone being comfortable and confident in their roles, whatever they'll be asked to do in the tournament, given that the opportunity provides itself for a player to play, is going to bode well for England going into the World Cup.
No, definitely. And I think the same article I was reading, they come back, looking to come back from the IPL on the 18th and 19th of May. So it's just before the playoffs start. And I think that, like you said there, in terms of a preparation perspective, I appreciate it. I'm grateful from an England band side of things that we're going to have a full squad playing that Pakistan series. We'll have a nice bit of time together to do what they need to do from a preparation perspective. So I think it's all aligning quite nicely for England to go far in the tournament.
Yeah, when you think of it, like the World Cup starts, I think it's the 2nd of June, which
2nd of
is
June, yeah.
that's just a couple of days away, because by the time you snap your fingers twice,
Yeah.
May's halfway through
That's it.
and on the flight heading out to the Caribbean and the USA, and it's action time. So
That's it.
it's very important that they sort of get their squad together quickly and get guys sort of I guess gelling and understanding their roles for the tournament.
Yeah, and that's it. That's one of the big benefits is some of the lads playing this out in the IPL. So they're coming in from obviously this high performance tournament, but then it's a switch of tactics. It's the different roles. You might be, you look at where Sam Curran's been batting. Will he be batting that high for England? Potentially not. Bairstow, where will he be batting and stuff? So I think it's going to give England that opportunity to actually understand, from the player's perspective, the roles and what is it they've got to do, and ultimately as well, like it'll give Rob, whoever, to work out who what the strongest 11 is, because that 15 is a very strong 15 with a lot of competition for places. So it'd be interesting to see whether Matthew Mott actually knows his strongest 11 at this minute in time.
Well, I think two guys that probably stand out as not going to be starting, or I can think of three, which would be Chris Jordan, Hartley,
Okay.
and Ben Duckett.
Yeah.
So it pretty much got 12 to select from right now for your starting 11. But having said that, the overall squad is a very strong and experienced squad. So, I mean, they have headaches of the good sort this time around, as opposed to last time where they didn't manage to
Yeah.
win many games.
No, and leading on to the South African 15, the one thing I would say is, I know we just touched on it with England then, but I think each of these squads have got they've got that real firepower with both bat and ball. They'd look to have the balance, with some all-rounders in there, and going on to South Africa now, I think they're a bit, I don't want to say underdog because of the strength and depth that they have, but you probably would probably categorise them ever so slightly as being a bit underdogs for the tournament, really.
Well, for me, it always comes down to South Africa's gonna have to show me. They're not gonna trick
Well,
me.
that's it.
Yeah, they're
That's
gonna
it.
have to be the team that definitely shows me. Obviously,
Yeah.
we know the quality and the talent of South Africa and South African players and
Yeah.
what they bring to tournaments around the world, but obviously they've never been able to get over the line.
No.
Whether it be
No.
Tests, T20, or one day internationals, in terms of
No.
getting deep in, like that deep into those tournaments and really vying for championships. I think that they obviously will have a good team, but when you look at the IPL, for example, and what's happening,
Yeah.
a few of their main players have started to have like sort of a dip in form,
Yeah.
which I mean is not what you really want at this stage with the World Cup being right around the corner. You sort of wanted them to be carrying on the way they started the IPL and you just continuing to improve on that form. But having said that, these are some of the best players in the world, and
Yeah.
I mean
Yeah.
playing for your nation, as good as franchise cricket is and may be, playing for your nation brings out a different level of performance, especially at a World Cup. So fully
I agree.
expect them to be competitive. It's a competitive nation in any sport that
course.
they play. And so they will be amongst or in and around contenders for the championship. But personally, for me speaking, I don't necessarily have them as a
No.
serious contender.
No, I get that. I just think with a side that has the likes of Klaassen Miller and Tristan Stubbs in that sort of middle to lower order, he's going to be able to, he's got the capability to go and chase a big total, but also then post a big total that makes it incredibly hard to chase. I do think they're potentially lacking a little bit from a bowling side of things, which might which will could be the undoing. But any side, as you spoke about plenty of times in terms of Rabada, any side that's got someone like that in has got the capability to go and and rip out the best batters in the world at the end of the day, and they could go and do that. I always think with South Africa, if you have to beat them, but they don't have to beat you. So if they say if it's they're out the tournament, but that you have to beat them to qualify, it always
It's
it,
not the team you want to play.
no. No, it really isn't. And like you said, they've got to prove themselves. And at some point down the line, in these major tournaments, they're going to have to, well, they don't say they're going to have to, but you'd like to think at some point down the line that they're going to get this, off the
Monkey
bat.
off their back.
Yeah, in terms of doing it, could it be in a tournament with where they potentially underdogs? You wouldn't write them off, but like you said, they're not going to be featuring in the top four, in my opinion, and getting to the semi-finals. But it's what makes it intriguing, and at the end of the day. So, leading us on to what everyone has been tuning in for is the West Indies 11. And now I'll have to get my phone for this because, like I said, my notes are full. So I'll let you start with your opening batters then.
All right, full disclaimer before we start. Obviously, he's made himself unavailable, but if Sunil Narine were available for this World Cup, the West Indies would at least get to the semi-finals.
You really have, you think you would have that much of an impact?
That's four overs that's guaranteed that will not go for more than 20 runs at any point in the tournament. Anyone that can offer that kind of control. And then his batting, obviously, right now
Yeah.
is flying off as well. So, I mean, the value, the impact that he brings to a cricket match is next to none. And on these Caribbean pitches, knowing
Yeah.
how spinners is going to play a part, he would have been absolutely fantastic. But having said that, he is not available. And so I go with my opening pair of Brandon King. And I think they're going to go with Jansen Charles. I'm going to go Brandon King and Jansen Charles.
Right. Well, I've gone Brandon King, and then I've gone Johnson Charles slash Kyle Myers.
Yep, I figured
So
you'd have done that as well.
That's the toss up there that I can, try and figure out. I think as, does Kyle Myers give you that extra bowling option that you might need potentially not. So yeah, that was my first headache was the opening slot.
All right. So at number three, I've gone Nicholas Puran.
Right, okay. Well, I've gone Shea Hope at three.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what was your think? What was your reasoning behind going Puran at three?
You know my theory. Best player in T20
Yeah.
bats the most balls. We're not going to put him to open, but definitely you want him to go out at number three. And if it's a situation where he needs to play himself in, then he has all the time. And if it's a situation where he needs to go, then
Yeah.
he has as much time available to him as possible to create as big an impact on the game.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Nicholas Puran at number three.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll stick with my guns. We say at three, but then Nicholas Puran's at four for me. So who do you have at four?
Interesting. So I've gone Rosten Chase slash Shea Hope at number four.
Right. Okay. Now
And
that's our headache. That.
I'm leaning more towards Rosten Chase for the mere fact that I think that two of them can sort of play the same role with the bat,
Right, okay.
whereas Shea is obviously a backup keeper as well, But Rothen can give me some overs of off-spin, which I think will be extremely valuable and sort of add a dimension to the starting 11 and bring a bit more balance and flexibility to the composition of the team.
Right, okay. I like you. Right, fair enough. Well, I've got Roston in a bit further down, but again, it's the role in which. Yeah, okay. I'll come on to that when I, because I think we both have number five. I think that'll be. I've got Rodman Powell at five.
Yep, Skipper goes at five.
Yeah, I think that, and then this is where my next headache came in. Is at number six, and I want to know what you've gone with there. Then
I've got Sherfin Rutherford at number six.
Right. Okay. Now my question to this is: do you think that you could, depending on, again, we talked about these wickets and how they go. Do you think West Indies could get Roston and Shea in the same team if they was to leave Rutherford out?
You can do it. I just don't think it would be a formidable enough
from a firepower perspective.
I think we just sort of need one of them, because Brandon King is a genuine stroke player, but he's not, let's say, a ball beater as the others.
Right.
So he can sort of control the top half of the innings. And that's why I said I wanted Roston at number four, because he can sort of control and shepherd through the remainder of the innings. And,
from
five onwards, I've literally just got heat-seeking missiles looking to seek and destroy every bowling option that we come up against. So that's why I've sort of gone for Sherfin Rutherford, and obviously being a left-hander as well.
Yeah,
it was either going to be Sherfin Rutherford or Shimron Hetmyer for me at number six. But I think at this point in time, given the last tour and I guess the last few games West Indies have played, Sherfin Rutherford is going to start, even though he is actually not playing at the IPL, and Shimron Hetmyer is playing at the IPL.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Sherfin Rutherford as my number six. And then I wanted to hear your opinion on the Shimron Hetmyer situation as well. So you've covered that nicely. So if he's at six, who have you got at seven?
At seven, I've got Andrew Russell.
Right, okay. I've got him as well. Have I got him at eight? One, two, three, four, five, six. No, I've got him at seven. Yeah, sorry. I did say my notes were a mess.
No, I just think that obviously he's come back into the West Indies fold at the start of the year. Had a pretty good series in Australia, had a pretty good series in the IPL thus far, and being a multi-dimensional cricketer, whether it's his batting, bowling or fielding, and his experience is going to go a long way. And so you sort of want that top half to set up the game where numbers 5, 6, 7, 8 onwards could just go out and play freely.
Yeah. No, I think other than maybe, yeah, I think he was a shoo-in really, weren't he? He was always in it's where he would feature. So in terms of your bowlers now, who are you for?
So my number eight is Romario Shepherd.
Yeah, snap.
Again, obviously seam bowling option.
Yeah.
Between Shepherd and Russell, I'm looking to get six of a possible eight overs. However they come about it could be 2-4, it could be 3-3, it could be whatever the situation is. However they come about six overs between them. Obviously if they're having a good day and you can get through eight overs from the two of them, then even better. But that's not necessarily what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them to contribute with the ball and be impactful finishers with the bat.
If both of them were to not get it right with the ball, do you think that makes that opening slot a bit more favourable for Kyle Myers then because of that extra potential bowling option?
Well, I don't think Kyle Mears is a stronger bowling option than any of the two in T20 cricket.
Right,
If it
okay.
were to be obviously test match cricket, then it's a different conversation. But in T20
Right.
cricket, I don't think that Kyle Mears is a more viable bowling option than any of the two of them, and thus that's why I didn't sort of have him
Right, okay.
in my starting 11.
Right, fair comment. Fair comment. And then then number nine.
I've gone Akil Hussain.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I think he'll have a good tournament, mate. I really do. I can see him having a big tournament. But yeah, no, definitely. 10.
Gurukesh
Ah, right, okay. Right. I was curious whether you're going to go with an extra spinner.
You know my thoughts on the Caribbean, obviously.
Yeah.
So I've got the three spin bowling options there in Roston, Moti, and Hussain.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's 12 overs that, regardless of whatever happens, I'm banking on those three to get me through 12 overs, and then we figure out the next eight sort of thing.
If you was going to bowl one of them in the power play, who would you go with out of those three?
Well, it depends on if it's a left-hand combination or a right-hand combination
Right.
opening batting. Obviously, Akil is quite used to opening the bowling in T20 cricket as well,
Yeah.
and so is Rostam. So it just depends, but they are capable of doing it. So it's not something that would be an issue.
Right, okay. Well, I've gone with my slash was the, I hope I pronounced his name right, Obed McCoy,
Okay.
or yeah, whether to go with the extra spin option. But obviously, with him again, with my, where I've looked at it, I didn't know whether Rosson would get in into where I'd put him in the team at the minute. So it's just I think how I need to get. So that's where if Rosson doesn't play, I'd definitely play in Moti. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And then 11. I'm guessing you've gone with your fellow countryman.
Alzari Joseph.
Yeah.
Closes out the 11.
Yeah. So where? I think this is why it gives me a headache because I think again they've got some really big names in that side, and I thought Shea batted absolutely superbly on Saturday, and that's why I kind of think that. He's put a few doubts around out there in terms of this strike rate that was being, talked about over there and stuff. And I thought the way he played, I think if he carries that through, I think he could be a massive thing at three. I really do. I thought the way that he played the spinners was brilliant. So if teams do, play, look at playing three spinners, I think he could be, very, very important to the West Indies lineup in that side of things. But yeah, I was yeah. I'm looking for. I'm pretty happy with how you've gone through that and the balance and stuff. And I wanted to get your opinion from an opening batting side of things, which you've covered nicely. Who do you see in that 11 sort of having the standout performances in the tournament?
I think Gurukesh Moti,
Right.
you look at his
Okay.
performances across all three formats from since he's made his international debut. He's been very impactful every time he's gotten an opportunity. And I think being on a world stage now, playing in front of the Caribbean fans, and I
Yeah.
think there was some start in Ghana as well. So playing in front of his own home fans, his family, friends, etc.
Yeah.
I think that he could possibly have a breakout tournament. I think Brandon King, depending on his injury, I know he's missing this tour of Nepal, this 18 tour right now because of some sort of injury. But I expect him to be fit for the World Cup. And obviously, I mean, everyone is looking for Nicholas Puran to carry the weight
Yeah.
of their West Indies batting and do whatever it takes to get West Indies into a position consistently to win games.
I know obviously Roston's part of the A tour. Is there anyone else you see on that A tour that could force their way into the 15 potentially, as well as the starting 11?
Quite a few guys, actually. So I think for me, right now, I've got O'Shane Thomas, Hayden Walsh, Who's not there? I've got Kyle Mears and Shimron Hetmyer and Shea Hope. So
Okay,
those
that's
are,
okay.
yeah. So
Yeah.
those are my five to take the next four spots, or my
Right, okay.
six to take the next four spots. How many of our names
Yeah.
now?
Right, okay. No, that's interesting. It's interesting. I think that, and do you think that the home advantage will play a big part for the West Indies?
I think so. Obviously, as I said, it'd have been a lot better if we had sort of a Sunil Narine available to us,
Yeah.
because what he brings can't be replicated in any shape or fashion. And with
I
his
don't
level
think
of
there's anyone in world cricket
experience,
that you could do.
no.
No.
You look at the IPL, for example. I mean, KKR lost a game where Bairstow made 100 chasing 260,
Yeah.
and he bowled four overs for 24 runs. So
Yeah.
that's, I mean, that in itself tells you the value of the man. Like, even in high chasing situations, teams are still looking to play his four overs out and backing themselves to get 260 from 16 overs, basically.
Yeah.
Understanding the threat that he poses. I think the management staff seem to be quite high on Matthew Ford as well, so I wouldn't be surprised if his
Right,
name is sort
okay.
of in and around that pot. I don't think that for me he would be in the squad, but I wouldn't be surprised if he is. Like, so Obed Mikhai, I think obviously he was a pretty much a lock-in, let's say a year ago, but he's sort of fallen off the boil at the moment. So
Yeah.
it would have been better if he were playing more cricket consistently, let's say in the 6 months leading up to this
Yes.
point in time. But for me right now, I wouldn't sort of risk him at this point unnecessarily going into a major world event.
No. Do you think Jason Holder still got a chance to play much in the T20 stuff for the West Indies?
I don't see him featuring in
No.
the 11 or in the 15, because
No.
if you've got Andre Russell and Shepherd, then what role or what does he add to the
Yeah.
team? Because they've got more firepower, and unless you're planning to use Jason as an out and out seamer and sort of get through his four overs in pretty much the first 10 to 12 overs, then
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see him featuring in the 11 or in the squad.
No, it's a fair comment. It's just in an article I was reading, there was talk of whether he could, and like I said, when I was looking at the 15 and how it would work. Yeah, I think I totally agree with what you were saying. I don't really see how he would be able to get into it with the players that you're going to probably need to go and, compete from a balance side of things for the 11 as well, really. So what would your prediction be? Would you take my hand up right off now for a semi-final finish?
100%, 100%. Semi-final finish in the Caribbean. That would be massive
It would be
for
massive,
West Indies cricket. Yeah, West Indies has never gotten that far in any tournament that they've hosted. So especially with this team, I think that would sort of be a great foundation for West Indies cricket to build on. Obviously, with the 50 over, I think it's the Champions Trophy next year as well in Pakistan. So, just sort of building blocks towards being competitive again in major tournaments. So I think that'd be good.
No, definitely. No, well, thank you very much for your incredible insight in terms of the 11 that you picked and your knowledge as well, in terms, obviously, you've been around a lot of these lads for a long, long time. So you see things that a lot of us definitely don't see and stuff. So I do appreciate your honest, insights into that. But, next week, hopefully, we'll be able to go over a bit of a preview in terms of it based on the selections and stuff. And hopefully touch a little bit on how the IPL is going, because I think that's going to give it a decent indication into certain players' form. I know that we spoke about before with England and how some of the players are starting to get going and stuff, but a week's a long time in the IPL, and all of a sudden, we some more standout performances as well, so.
Yep, 100%. You never know what's going to happen in the IPL. I mean, so much talent knocking about. I definitely feel as though, and it's just expanded, but it needs to expand more because there's so much talent just coming up out of the woodworks, whether it be international or domestic talent, that it sort of has to be something similar to, I guess, maybe the Premier League, where you have enough teams, and even if they can sort of do something where they have a drop zone where if you, I mean, if you're not performing, you go down to the championship level, but then that would require them to structure another level of T20 cricket. So, probably won't happen, but definitely needs maybe another four teams or so.
Well, I think we have spoke about that this before. I think that
Yeah.
if there's going to be a tournament that had the capability to go and do that from a two-tier format, it would definitely be the IPL and in the within India as well. So I think that it's something over time that might take place, but hopefully we want to see it grow and want to continue to keep seeing the the way it works, because obviously I was a little. Do you think I was just thinking then? You talk about obviously England players coming, finishing earlier, or they finish at the end of the just before the playoffs. Do you think that in hindsight, there could have been a bit more to maybe push the World Cup, obviously not push it back, but the timing maybe to start it a little bit later, or start the IPL a little bit earlier, so there was a bit more of a gap to allow sort of all the nations to have a bit more group preparation. But I suppose you can't keep everyone happy at the end of the day, can you? So.
And it's up to respective boards to take that call and make the decision and say that, you guys are our players and we want you to leave that tournament early. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, IPL is the biggest T20 tournament out, but it's still a domestic franchise tournament. And this is a T20 World Cup coming up. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see even Australia and South Africa and New Zealand and these other nations starting to do that as well and bring home their players early from the IPL, which, I mean, even in terms of just giving them that few extra days rest, as opposed to going right down to the IPL and then jumping onto a plane straight out to the Caribbean and the USA, makes a big difference in the long run.
And like I said, from the respective nations to go and do that, you probably would you that's probably going to happen, or you'd like to think it's probably going to happen, which is a shame though, because obviously at the pinnacle or at the peak of the tournament, it's when sides are potentially going to be weaker, and it might end up being the side that's not necessarily the strongest that win the IPL, but the one who can actually put the strongest 11 out based on what's happened and stuff. So,
Best available domestic players.
So, but I'm sure we can go over that over the next few weeks, and as news breaks, we'll discuss it as we do on the Power Play podcast.
Sounds good.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Kai. Have a lovely rest of your night.
Cheers, John.
Speak
Thank
to you
you for
soon.
joining us on the
Bye.
Power Play podcast, hosted by Kyron Powell and Jordan Shannon. We hope you enjoyed this immersive dive into the world of cricket and business, exploring the unique experiences and perspectives of players past and present, alongside those invaluable insights into intriguing business themes that transcend beyond the boundaries of sporting heroics. Be sure to set your reminders on your Alexa or Google Home device. Or we won't tell anyone if you still use those paper calendar things from a bygone era. Join us next time for more inspiring dialogue with scintillating minds on the Power Play podcast.